welcome to the Global Research News Hour. I'm Steve Lindman. Today my guest is Connie Fogel, and if we can make contact, we're trying to reach a psychiatrist on the ground in Gaza City. Gaza is a topic that I address constantly. I've written a great deal on it. I put out a new article today. I'm working on another one. It's pretty horrific what's going on there. If we can reach the man I spoke to very briefly this morning, we'll have a very short segment with him. Let me tell you about my guest, Connie Fogel. Connie, I like to refer to you, rightly or wrongly, as Canada's Ralph Nader. I love that description, but I'll tell listeners exactly who you are. You're a lawyer, you're a former teacher, you're a political activist, and you're a leader of the Canadian Action Party. And the party, and I quote, "It's dedicated to the principle that Canada can best serve its citizens and the world by reclaiming and maintaining its political and economic sovereignty as an independent country, not as an appendage of the U.S. Those are my words. Connie, you've been at this an awful long time, and you've done an awful lot of work on what we can talk about along with anything else that's on your mind, the so-called North American Union or Security and Prosperity Partnership, language right out of Orwell. And one more thing, Connie, you and it was really a great honor for me to be with you at Sonoma State last September 11th. What a day to be there together. But we were, and we both spoke to a group of students and others in the community who came in, and it was just it was a glorious experience. Connie, welcome to the program.
Well, thank you, but I must tell you, I'm no longer the leader of the Canadian Action Party.
I didn't know that. As of when?
The leadership changed in November. There was an election. I retired, and there was an election process. And Dr. Andy Molden, who lives in Toronto, is now the new leader.
Oh, my goodness. But you're still active in it?
Well, I'm still in the party, of course, but when a leader steps down, you know, you have to step down and let the new people get going. And
then, indeed.
Transition from Vancouver to Toronto, and so there's going to be a bit of an interruption once we shut down some of my equipment here and transfer it off to Toronto, but that hasn't exactly happened yet. In a few days it will.
Well, you have brought me up to date, and I apologize. I guess I didn't double-check to see
if
there had been a recent change.
That's the problem.
But the mission of the party remains, and your mission remains.
Oh, yes.
And I guess I could describe you in a nutshell. Your political activism, you support human dignity and democratic justice, whether it be in the Canadian Action Party or in anything that you do. Those are core principles for you, Connie, and they certainly are for me as well.
Oh, yes, absolutely, absolutely. Yeah, and the party, don't forget, it's been around since 1997, and its first leader was Paul Hellyer, and I took over in 2004. This struggle has been ongoing for quite a number of years now, and hopefully the new people will carry it forward. We have a new executive and new leader, and they've got to get their feet wet and get the teeth into things, and they will.
And the Harper government has not made things easier for you. They certainly have done probably more than most other administrations to join at the hip with the Bush administration, other people down here, and
well,
the wars of aggression and all the rest.
Actually, they're just carrying on what's been going on for a number of years. That's just they do it a little more openly.
They do it more openly. Connie, that music means that there's a commercial break coming.
That's okay.
Let's take that, and we'll come right back. And if we make connections with our man in Gaza, please, please connect me with him. Welcome back to the News Hour. So far, no luck connecting with Gaza City, but we will try. It is not easy getting through to a war zone. A couple of comments, Connie. Let me just mention one thing this morning, just hoping that I could get through to a yard in Gaza City. I watched a short video that was smuggled out of Gaza of the after effects of an Israeli Air Force bombing. It was mighty, mighty tough to watch that for about 7 or 8 minutes. They were just bodies all over the place, and it was very hot. It was raw footage. It's posted on Global Research. Anybody can go to globalresearch.ca and find this link and click it and watch this very, very disturbing video. People are screaming, calling out. Some people look immobile. Apparently they're dead. Others, it's very hard to tell. You can see some movement. But they were just bodies all over the place, all over the place. And, of course, this is going on daily now for nearly 3 weeks. It'll be 3 weeks. I believe it'll be 3 weeks this Saturday. So at the end of Friday, 3 weeks will be completed. Getting back to our topic, Connie, let me mention that months back I had Canadian journalist Linda McQuaig on the program talking about her book, Holding the Bully's Coat. That's what really solidifies in my mind the idea of how close the Harper administration has been to the Bush administration. And she goes into detail in the book how Canada through the years has become more militaristic. If you go back a number of years, Canada did not emphasize its military to the degree that it does now, and greatly at the emphasis of the U.S. and sending troops to Afghanistan and so on and so forth. Well, you're there. You live with this. Any comments on that aspect of what's going on?
It's... Of course, this is all part of the integration of Canada into the United States. It's just been going on for 20 years since the Free Trade Agreement. I mean, the Free Trade Agreement was the economic integration. And even Ignatieff, at the time, who was out of the country, as he's been most of his adult life, it appears, commented that this was a very bad thing for Canada. That was the economic integration, but that was the beginning of the process, and now in the last five to ten years, the process of the rest of the integration under the Security and Prosperity and Partnership Agreement has been going on. Then there's a military integration, which Michelle Chosudovsky has talked about a lot over the years, going back in binational agreements, on the binational planning agreement, 2001, and of course our military is pretty much totally integrated with the United States now and under United States command, and our military people, you know, seem to be very, a lot of the leadership seems to be very, very proud to be the hot to trot militaristic aggressors now, and it hasn't been the Canadian way, and Canadians have said over and over, we don't want to be military aggressors. We don't want to be playing that role. We don't. And every election, of course, people are lied to all the time at every single election. But unfortunately, the military integration is just accelerating, and we actually probably can't make any changes now from that arrangement without, we really have to have some people with a massive courage to just say this is going to change. Now, we have to see what happens with the U.S., the U.S. leadership. But I don't know what you've been talking about, you know, about the Obama situation, but I just don't know that it's going to be an awful lot of change on the really significant things. A lot of people are very optimistic or very hopeful, which would, of course, definitely have an impact on Canada. But the whole, you know, once the integration of something has really become effective, like we are in effect pretty much clearly a colony of the United States now. I mean, we've been tolerated when people cross the border now. We're tolerated, patted on the head like being from the colonies. And we're allowed to do things in terms of going through the U.S. border that other countries can't do, but it's because we're little pets. So, our independence, our sovereignty on our military, we've handed away, our government has handed away, and we're complicit now as aggressors, and this classic horrible example right now of what's going on in the Gaza area is a horrendous proof to the pudding.
and your government supports that carnage, those grievous war crimes that have been covered up. And I literally follow it absolutely daily, Connie. I stay on this daily, and I've written 5 articles, my newest I put out today. I'm working on a 6th article, and part of the 6th article, I'm giving a daily timeline. Can't go into terrible detail, or I'll have an article that will never end. But I'm including a section of a daily timeline that I've got up to 19 days. Today, I believe, is the 19th day. Today is the 19th day. The number of deaths, the number of injuries, some reports, examples of what's going on the ground, like an entire family wiped out with 11 children. I mean, this is outrageous stuff. Neighborhoods are being attacked. Israel has a policy. A doctrine. I don't have it in front of me. It was something I didn't know about, and I believe it's called the Dahiyan doctrine. I hope I've got that right. I'd have to go back and check what I wrote about it. I believe that's the name. And the doctrine, I quoted right from the text of the doctrine, official Israeli doctrine. And the doctrine, in a nutshell, says that Israel will go after the weakest targets, including civilians, go after them, target them. They are part of the enemy that we are addressing, whether it be in occupied Palestine or whatever the enemy may be, another country, whatever. But they will go after the civilian infrastructure, the civilian population, and in Israel's mind, these are legitimate targets. Well, international law has something else to say about it. International law absolutely forbids this stuff. These are war crimes, and there are no ifs, ands, and buts about it. Connie, I would tell you, if everybody in this country, if they aired the video I saw this morning on primetime TV every night in the U.S., this war would stop, if not in 24 hours. It would stop pretty fast, because people would see exactly what's going on the ground. These are innocent civilians that are literally being torn to pieces. And our country, the U.S., supports this with munitions, with billions of dollars, et cetera, and so on and so forth. And then we get to the North American Union, Connie, and the idea is to merge 3 countries into one, end the sovereignty of the two small partners, the two colonies, Canada and Mexico, Connie, and militarize the whole thing, because if people really wake up to what the devil's going on, they might not be too happy about it.
Yeah. The thing is, as we've been pointing out for so many years now, that the integration is not, the integration is happening. The integration is in process, and it's dramatically in process, and the militarization integration is the classic example of how the integration is there. And the frustration for me over the years is to listen to the language of just about every, except Michel Chodorkovsky, he's right in tune with me, but just about every other voice in the country, from the Council of Canadians through to the NDP, through to other organizations, when they would talk about the process, they would say, they would use language to suggest that it might happen, that it could happen if we don't do this or that or the other. That is still language, instead of acknowledging that it is happening and the process is very advanced, and pulling away, changing it. Now, like the integration, once you integrate transportation and you integrate your economy, when you integrate your military, you integrate your immigration, once you integrate all these things, it's just like the privatization process. Once you've privatized your structure, to change it back again will take 20 to 50 years, unless you have a revolution kind of thing. I mean, a massive revolution, which is a very horrendous thing that nobody wants, and we should never have to have in this country. But it's very bad, and the majority of people don't know that it's happening, because nobody's telling them. They don't listen to the right people, or not the right people can't get out there to present to them the information. This whole economic collapse is an engineered collapse, and that'll be, this is, people have to understand that this is part of the process that it won't be very long now, and we'll be told, look at, in order to fix the economic collapse, we have to have the unified money, and be like the European Union money, and this will fix things for us economically. That's coming, and the money that is actually printed already. There are people who have had access to whistleblowers who have shown them. For a while, it was the minted coins, and now we can see the actual paper money that's printed. And the kind of symbols that come from the three countries.
You're talking about an Amero.
I'm talking about the Amero, that's right.
I wonder how many people, I think listeners to this program, Connie, have heard something about it at least, but most people down here don't have a clue about any of this. I wanted to ask you, we could do it when we come back, that's another break coming up, about how the current economic crisis is affecting the transition to the so-called North American Union. But let's take a break, and we'll be right back.
This is Cascadia Public Radio.
Let me just make a brief announcement for Michelle Chesedowski, my co-host, and he will be back hosting tomorrow. His guest is Peter Dale Scott, who has been on twice with me, and I guarantee you it'll be one terrific program. You team these two gentlemen up together, and I promise you it'll be a classic program. Absolutely tune in and listen, or if you can't, listen on archives. But Michelle tonight at 7 p.m., for people around the Montreal area who can get to it. He's giving a talk that I hope will be recorded. I suspect it will be, and posted on Global Research as soon as able. And the talk is called The Global Financial Crisis, The Great Depression of the 21st Century. Connie Michel has done some very important writing on this, and he absolutely believes we're heading into a Great Depression.
Yeah.
I absolutely agree with you that this business was engineered, but I'm scratching my head and I'm wondering, did they bite off more than they can chew? Did they want it to be bad, but not this bad? And I must add one more thing. When you and I were together at Sonoma State, it was right on the cusp of the financial markets going down.
Mm-hmm.
The real bloodletting happening in October. But one story I heard was that, they let Lehman Brothers go. They wouldn't do anything to save it. But the story I heard, and I have no way of knowing if it's true or false, is that this was a conspiracy planned with the CEO of Lehman Brothers, that it was deliberately allowed to die, and I guess they wanted to cause some turmoil if the story is true. They sure got the turmoil that they wanted if in fact they did want it. But this is mighty, mighty ugly stuff.
It is. And when you, and I surely do hope that this program tonight with Michelle is recorded, because there are very few people that can speak with the authority and expertise that Michelle has. And that presentation does need to be broadcast. And if it's going to be broadcast, I'm asking you to please send us the link. Send the link to me, and I'll see to it that it goes up on the Canadian Action Party website, and then the link gets broadcast to our contacts. And I would be very disappointed if the organizers do not tape that, because that what he has to say, I know from all my experience with Michelle, I know that is information that is fundamental and so core and needs to be spread as far and wide as possible for people to be able to understand what's going on.
Connie,
although some people, you know, don't want to know what's going on. They don't want to hear bad stuff, and they'd rather hide and just kind of hope that they won't be touched. That's the tragedy for all of us, is because so many people take that position and just don't want to know. It's curious.
There's no question. People can say, you know, don't bother me with what's going on in the Middle East. But this financial crisis touches everyone, everywhere. If it's recorded, his talk will be in English. If it's recorded, I absolutely will send you a link. Can I just read you a couple of comments he makes on the announcement?
Yes, please.
And for listeners as well. And again, as you well know, and I hope listeners also, Michel does some of the most important work on key topics that he addresses.
Yes.
And they're always the most important ones. And he always has a perspective that few and sometimes nobody else has managed to find and dig out.
Right.
And I've asked him, how on earth do you learn this stuff? Well, he's very careful about what he puts in his articles. And he's also told me that most of what he finds, he won't use because he cannot verify it to his satisfaction.
Mm-hmm.
So the only material he'll put in is what he feels very confident about.
Mm-hmm.
And whenever he makes an error, he will correct it.
Mm-hmm.
But he talks about what he's going to talk about tonight. He talks about causes and consequences of the financial meltdown,
mm-hmm.
the speculative onslaught, the financial fraud, the greatest fraud in world history, Connie,
mm-hmm.
financial fraud and the bank bailouts
mm-hmm.
to the banksters who committed the fraud. The
right.
bankruptcy of the real economy, the impact on employment, on wages, on social services, the out-of-control public debt, the
mm-hmm.
immense economic crisis, and its relationship to the Middle East.
Mm-hmm.
Well, of course, you've got oil over there, so that's an obvious relationship. The centralization of corporate power, what you and I are talking about,
mm-hmm.
the centralization of wealth, the globalization of poverty, and Michel wrote a book on the
yes.
globalization of poverty and the New World Order.
Right.
It's a few years ago, but I guarantee it's just as cutting edge now.
Right.
And if anybody wants to get that book, they can go to globalresearch.ca, and there's information there, and you can order it right from Michelle.
Right.
I've got the book, and I've read it. It is absolutely terrific.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I'm out of breath.
It is amazing how the research, the quality of the work that he does, he's an absolute superior scholar, and we're very lucky in Canada to have someone with his quality and his credentials. He should be being presented across the country. But you know, he is so leading edge, and he goes to the core so sharply that the power structures in this country would just as soon his word not be heard. That's a tragedy. That's why a program like what you're doing is so important, and that's why his website is so important. And
absolutely.
We have to do what we can to help to get his information spread to the people.
Honey, we have to take another break, and then
right.
we'll have a longer segment. Let's do that, and we'll be right back.
Right.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.
Welcome back to the News Hour. I'm on with Connie Fogel. Connie, I forget where you left off, but if you still have that train of thought, please continue with it.
I forget what we were. I was praising Michelle. That's what I was doing.
Indeed. And he was forced to take a hiatus on hosting because he's been teaching. He's been world traveling. I wonder if you know that a couple of months ago he was down in Mexico to receive a prestigious award for global research as the single best website for world news information and analysis. And this was televised on Mexican TV,
mm-hmm.
and I guess everything was in Spanish. Well, Michelle is multilingual,
right.
and he can handle Spanish all right. That's a wonderful honor, and there's no doubt in my mind that Global Research deserves that. It really is. It's an extraordinary sight to really keep up on what's going on in the world. That's important.
Right. Well, I'm it must have been a university down there that was giving him the honor. Because, I mean, Mexico, some of the leadership of Mexico has is certainly not going the direction that, that Michelle would talk needs to be addressed.
Oh, indeed. It certainly was not the people running the country. No, no. They don't want Michelle's information out.
No, I'm pleased that he was able to get there. I mean, now with all the interference by the United States again, which all of which has come into existence since 2001 with the 9/11 tragedy and the 9/11 tragedy for the world because of the lie that it's been. But since then, with the border rules and the rosters now, well, especially now in this year 2009, now the Homeland Security of the United States is playing the role in demanding that they've talked about doing for a number of years of demanding the rosters of the names of all the people that are on the planes that fly, any plane that flies over the airspace of the United States. And if there's anybody on that plane that's on the United States' no-fly list, those people are not going to be allowed to fly if the plane is going over United States airspace. And I know that Michelle has always had a concern about where his name sits in the United States. So I guess he got down there. I mean, I know that Mexico has shared its data right from the beginning since the United States decided that it was going to demand this kind of information. And Mexico was providing the names of its travelers. I think they had cooperation on that right from the beginning. So I'm glad that Michelle was able to get there, and there were no difficulties for him trying to get down and to get back. That's a problem. I mean, it's pretty hard anywhere in Canada. You certainly go to fly many places south. You have to cross the U.S. border. And even to go to, if they want to go to Cuba, you still got to cross the corner of Canada. I mean, if you go east, getting to the point where almost to avoid some of the rules that the United States is imposing on the rest of the world, you've got to fly a long ways away in order to get to your destination to avoid U.S. territory.
Honey, I never thought I'd live to see the day that the kind of things that we're experiencing now are going on. A country supposedly calling itself a model democracy. It truly is outrageous. Some of the things that I've written about and talked about at Sonoma, the repression going on down here, the outrageous laws that have been passed, illegal stuff too. I mean revoking fundamental laws that go back to the 19th century in this country about putting military on the streets.
And
there's a lot of new stuff about that too.
Well, of course, the thing is, all of that kind of activity is done and justified in a different kind of a way. I mean, they use language just as this is to protect the civilians from terrorism. Or to deal with the illegal immigrants. So much of the stuff that's going on in the United States, right to the concentration camps that are there, and of course we have them in Canada too. But the justification originally was, well, this is to house the illegal people coming in from Mexico when we find them and put them in there, so we send them back. But really, the intention has been to have places to put the people when they do finally wake up and say, look, we're not going to tolerate this. So. Yes, it's the apparatus is a very frightening apparatus. It hasn't been used to its full extent, but it's there. The structure is there. It's just like this business of the information on the airlines now that countries have been cooperating with the United States for some time. But my information is that in the beginning of January 2009, the Homeland Security is going to be the ones taking over complete charge of that and demanding the lists and insisting that certain people whose names are on there do not fly. And of course, we all know that a lot of the people whose names are on there, there's sometimes even been babies. I mean, and it's just silly because you can have the same name as someone else. But interestingly, I was able to get down to the States a number of times last year, and I had absolutely no trouble. And that was very pleasing. I was a bit nervous because I thought my name would maybe be on some list because of the things that I say. But in any case, I haven't been prevented from flying. I'm not on a Canadian list, and I don't seem to be on a U.S. list. At least nobody has. There's been no impact if I am.
Well, you are very prominent. I must say, when I flew to California in September. That was the first flight I had taken since 9/11.
Mm-hmm.
And I was very concerned. I didn't know whether because of what I'm doing, my writing and so on, that I would be singled out and I would be put on some kind of a list. You know, there are different lists. They have a no-fly list. They have another list where they just harass you. Mm-hmm. They take you aside. They do all kinds of things, strip search you or whatever.
Yeah.
I was really worried that they might just give me a go. They might let me fly, but they would make it a very painful experience for me.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, it's really incredible that these kinds of things go on.
Yeah.
And they don't make us safer. All of this really makes us less safe. It certainly doesn't make us any safer.
It's true. But you know, you and I are talking about these worrisome things that are emanating from the States, but if you're in England or Australia, it may even be worse. I mean, their video cameras watching the people are at every corner in England. You go through the customs and the security in Heathrow and in Gatwick. It's very intimidating. And in Gatwick, I mean, there are security people walking around the corridors with these giant guns, these giant rifles, you know. And you can't really walk around the corner and bam, you walk into someone. I hadn't seen that since Frankfurt. And in Frankfurt, they've been doing that for years. Since years ago, the terrorist attack of sports people a long, long, long time ago. But I've not seen that in the few U.S. airports that I've been in. You know, you go around a corner and suddenly you're accosted by a big burly guy with this great big gun that looks like a machine gun. I don't know what it is. It'll be, I'm sure, a very powerful something.
Well, that is very scary. And these so-called terrorist attacks, most of them, and Michelle has written about this, I've written about some examples, most of them are absolutely trumped up and phony.
Oh, yes.
And they go after innocent people, and they accuse them of terrorism, and they charge them, indict them, bring them into court, and they have basically a kangaroo court proceeding. Down here we have such oppressive right-wing judges in federal courts, and they intimidate the jury. They put up all kinds of contrived evidence, and a good deal of it is called classified, and they don't even make it available to defense attorneys. So they can't use anything to defend their clients.
No, that's exactly, that's the same thing in all, you know, in Canada, follow the same structure. In anything that has to do with the national security, they've changed all the procedures of law and of the justice system so that they've basically eliminated all the protective rights that come with a democratic legal system. And they can do anything. They can withhold evidence. The evidence can't be tested in the right kind of a way. All justified evidence on the basis of national security, which is the erosion, total erosion of democracy. And of course, if you have a justice system that isn't democratic and that's full of all this secrecy, well, that's the cornerstone, you see, of your system, and it's the cornerstone of your society. That is your legal system is, and when it's eroded and when it's all masked and when it's all hidden, we're in big trouble.
Oh, indeed. The criminals running the country are the ones who get away with murder, and innocent people are targeted. Down here, the designated targets are Muslim people of some kind of prominence in some way, and I've had a number of programs, Connie, on this, and just recently I had the daughter of one political prisoner who I wrote about, Syed Mousavi is his name. I had the lawyer representing another woman who literally went through sheer hell, and she still is going through it. Her name is Afia Siddiqui, a Pakistani-American. She's a Muslim, Syed Mousavi, an Iranian-American. Trumped-up charges, innocent people. Both of them were brutalized, Afia, much more so than Saeed, but they gave him a terrible going over too. Just outrageous stories, both of them absolutely innocent, and the idea is to terrify people in the country that there are quote-unquote bad guys out there, and your country is on the watch protecting you. We're going after them. We're finding them. We're putting them in prison to keep the country safe, and it's all a bunch of rubbish. Again, to scare the people into letting them get away, letting the administration get away with murder. Connie, I hate to disappoint you, but I see no change coming under the Obama administration. I've written a great deal about it. All of his key appointees and James Petras, who comes
that's
on
my,
this program,
that's
a pretty
my
good.
Worry too.
I'm sorry.
That's my worry too.
Well, I think it will be. James Petras has been on a number of times. He'll be back on in February, and he refers to the people picked by Obama in key posts as the same dregs back in the Clinton administration, the same people who got us into the mess we're in now, whether we're talking about the mess in the Middle East, the economic crisis, the same people are back for an encore. And we expect these people to solve all the problems that we have. So I refer to Obama, Connie, as George Bush's third term. Mm-hmm. And I really believe it.
Mm-hmm. Well, we have to remember that the leadership of, in all the the countries of the West, for certain, and probably the case in the East, too, now. But the leadership, these people are chosen not by the people who vote, but they're chosen by the powers that be, the leadership, the Illuminati, the Bilderbergers, the people who run the show of the world. And if you look in Canada, where we had, you see what's happened with the Liberal Party. I mean, their Liberal Party had a leader who took this country through an election, and when the minority government developed the way it was, and Harper was, you know, he ran quickly to dissolve Parliament so that he could avoid the no confidence motion, and the other parties came together and created a coalition force. As soon as they get back in government, they were going to take over the government, and so Harper dissolves Parliament and hopes that everything will go away, and then the Liberal Party. The leadership of the Liberal Party, they moved quickly to remove Dion and put Ignatieff in, who he's a hot to trot Harperite in many ways as well. I mean, these people are and the fact that he gets pushed in without the Liberal Party going to their membership, a change is made at the leadership level just by the people who are elected and by the executives of the various constituencies across the country and the leaders of those executives, and that is undemocratic within that the structure of that party, and yet it's done because within each of those parties, the Conservative Party and the Liberal Party, the movers and the shakers, the power people in those parties are part of and supportive of the real power structure of the world, just as in the United States, the same is true, whether it's the Republicans or the Democrats. And so who gets put in those positions really is not chosen by the people, but it's chosen by whoever in the back, where the real power is, from the clubs, from the Bilderbergers, through the royalty, all of that structure that really runs and rules the world, they sit and meet and decide who's the best person in each of the parties, and then they manipulate. They work to manipulate, pouring the money in to put in place whoever they want, and they know how to manipulate the populace into getting them to think that this is going to be a better deal or that's going to be a better deal. So it's the only thing that can work to try to protect some semblance of democracy and protection for the people are programs like yours and the organizations out there that do present the truth, that do present information, writers, good writers that exist in around the world, trying to get exposure for their work, and which only comes, for the most part, through the alternative media. As we all know, the mainstream media is an instrument of the power of the world. And so the role that an organization that a radio show like yours plays, and the kind of work that I've done, and the people like myself, people like you, those are extremely important roles. And it's not me or you as such. It's this whole alternative structure that's so very important. So we have to have, quote, soldiers out there amongst us who keep picking up the banner when the banner falls and keep it flying. And we have been, and that's where the hope for the world is. And even with something as terrible as what's going on in Gaza, that whole structure and that whole pressure that's coming, you know, we can't give up the hope that the beacon of truth and the spirit of life will go on, but it will only go on by individuals. Working and struggling and speaking out, that's absolutely essential to continue.
It's so critical, Connie, and I think it gets more critical all the time. The Internet has the possibility of being able to spread the word around, this program being one. There are certainly others, and for people who take the time to read, there's such important information there. Of course, we pretty much get outnumbered by those who control the TV networks, where most people get their so-called news and information. But you watch some of those TV news reports. I do some media critique too, and I do a little bit of monitoring of what they're doing. It's very painful to watch the way they absolutely pollute the stories that they tell. There's no possibility in the world you're going to have any idea what's going on. And this stuff, directly or indirectly, touches our lives, and it's hurting us.
Right.
Connie, we have to take another break, and then we'll come back and finish up the hour. Welcome back to the News Hour. I'm on with Connie Fogel. Connie, the hour always flies by, and we have a few minutes left till we get to the end of the hour. But what other things are on your mind that you feel are important to pass on to listeners?
Well, the most important thing, really, you know, is the financial crunch as far as what's going on in the world. And for Canada, with the existence of our Bank of Canada, we're in one of the most privileged positions in the world, and that we have at our fingertips a tool, a device that can save Canada's financial situation, and that's our Bank of Canada, which we used during the Depression into the 70s, flowing out of a time which is exactly what we're going into again, like the Dirty 30s, the Depression of that time, and the instrument of the Bank of Canada to be used to put money into the system interest-free, for all the infrastructure, when the basic, what needs to be done in all of the countries of the world to deal with this economic crisis is for the governments to be involved in seeing to it that money gets into the system, and it's happening in the United States. I mean, some money is being put into the United States at zero, the government's borrowing at 0% from the Federal Reserve, and so they're actually getting back into the business of being involved in the creation of money, and that money should be pouring into infrastructure. It should be pouring into roads, into schools, into housing, into bridges, this will put people back to work. For Canada, the lowering of the cost of interest doesn't help us, because we're an import country, and all the money that's saved as a result of the lower interest rate just drains out of the country. Tax cuts, if they were genuine tax cuts that would go to the benefit of the ordinary people, that would be helpful, because ordinary people would take the extra money and spend it in the economy. But the tax cuts are always, under the system the way it's run right now, are in the hands of the wealthy, and the wealthy tend to take the tax cuts to states to make more money for themselves. They don't put it back into the economy. So these are instruments like the Bank of Canada for Canada. If only the government would see, this is the time now to go back to use that instrument. Our Bank of Canada has been used, you know, billions of dollars have been poured out from our Bank of Canada to bail out the banks in the United States that were in trouble, which banks, of course, just turn around and buy up other banks, and the money that's been the big bailout that's gone on in the United States is not going into do anything for the economy, because it's just feeding the bankers more, and they're just, the bigger ones are just gobbling up the smaller ones and continuing their feeding frenzy. So the key for people to understand is that there are solutions. They do exist. And we just need people with the will, with the guts, with the courage to take back the power. And the power really right now sits in the entire world, in the financial elite of the world. And the financial elite is connected with the military. And so when we have whatever military aggression is going on around the world, it's all connected to the financial elite and it's all connected to power.
Oh, there's no question, Connie. There's no question. I'm not sure what that was, but we're getting near the end of the hour. We'll hear the concluding music in a moment.
Right.
Let me just thank you for coming on. We had to delay it because of the tragedy in your family. You lost your mother last November. And again, my deepest condolences. I guess we all go through that. It's been a while for me, but it's a very painful thing to go through.
Well, it's painful when they die a long, slow, tortured death, and that happens sometimes, and it happened to my mother. It's very difficult when you're doing what you can, and there's nothing you can do really except try to be a comfort.
Oh, absolutely.
24-hour vigils with people are necessary, and that takes a lot out of you.
Indeed, Connie. They'll cut us off in a moment. Again, let me just thank you for coming on. And
thank you for having me.
Oh, Connie, we will absolutely do it again, and please tune in tomorrow. Michelle will be back for his wonderful program, and then I'll be back on Friday.
Good. Okay. Thanks again.